Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, that's located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here this morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about overcoming unnecessary dependencies by thinking with divine mind as a method for changing the reward circuits in the brain. Listen as we explain the function of divine mind and the perfect law of life. In this show, we will be exploring the conscious effect of dharana concentration, the sixth stage of Kriya Yoga. With repetition comes absorption. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and start thinking with divine mind. So Swami, let's just start off with one of the first things that we mentioned in the summary. Let's talk about overcoming unnecessary dependencies by thinking with divine mind. What does that look like? How do we do it?
Yeah, the term in the Bible is called repent, which means that we have to start thinking differently. Most of our dependencies really are a direct result of internalizing substances, circumstances, situations, and reacting to them because we have elevated them to a position of importance that we think we need them. And so one of the first things that can start to happen is to start to think with divine mind. You rise above need. That spirit doesn't have any requirements. That spirit is complete and whole. It is fulfillment now. We are accustomed to thinking with our five sense mind or the lower mind. When you are thinking with the lower mind, you are acquiring all of your information from matter and mind, or from what's called duality. From that perspective, we are finite. We are mortal. We have a corporeal body. But from a spiritual sense of selfhood, we are divine, which means that we are eternal, immortal. Our life is self-existent, and it stems from an indestructible principle. But the thing about it is that it is in perfect harmony. It is the divine law of life. And we are accustomed to thinking with our five sense mind. So we are thinking with the testimony of our senses. And from that rational level of thinking, we are under the law of karma, which is basically a belief in two powers. So it's an ongoing struggle between good and evil, light and dark, right and wrong, life and death. And so this whole thing of accepting your spiritual selfhood and starting to usher in divine mind as your soul base of operation, when divine mind starts to function in your being, that is when you can experience divine omnipotence. And you move beyond personal desire, personal interest, personal will. And also you move beyond your needs and your wants. And you live now out of the will of divine law.
So how do we know if we have change the reward circuits in our brain?
Well, that's going to depend on whatever it is that you desire. And one of the things that we have been saying in these shows consistently is that if we desire things that are visible and tangible, then we will be of a lower animal nature and we will be controlled by our senses. If we desire things that are invisible but tangible, thoughts, visions, concepts, beliefs, then we will still be under the rulership of karma because we have a belief in something that is also dualistic. And you will be of a human nature. But if you have a desire for what is invisible and intangible, and in the Bible they call that loving God. In Buddhism, they call that desiring nothing, the void, the nothing. The one dimension of reality that has no frequency, no vibration. Then if we desire that, then we will be of a divine nature. And from that vantage point, you will then have divine omnipotence functioning in your being.
So that's what you mean by the phrase, the perfect law of life?
Yeah, divine law or spiritual principle, the belief in one power. And it is really no power because it is the perfect law. It is the divine perfect law of life, which really requires no adjustment. It is the changeless state of being.
When you talk about the functions of divine mind, you're talking about the harmony with divine mind?
Yeah, and it's absolute harmony. Because the lower mind, the law of karma, is a constant ongoing battle between harmony and discord. That it is finite bad that can become finite good, and when it becomes finite good, it can easily return to finite bad. So there's this chronic anxiety because we are in the changing conditions of the personal mentality. And so here we're trying to acquire a taste for the divine, acquiring a taste for the perfection of our being.
I know you have talked before about acquiring a taste for the divine, but you have kind of a funny analogy that you use, and you talk about coffee and so on and so forth. Could you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, I tell the story that the first time I took a sip of coffee when I was a young boy, I remember, ooh, and somebody said to me, you have to acquire a taste for it. And I remember later on, I took a sip of Scotch whiskey and I thought, ooh, and they said, you have to acquire a taste for it. And the first time I took a drag on a cigarette, I thought, ooh, and they said, you have to acquire a taste for it. And these are all things that people internalize and we acquire a taste for it and then we become controlled by them. Well, in the framework of accepting your divine selfhood, you really have to acquire a taste for spirit. Because that's one of the things when I tell people that you have to make prana your party. But it's invisible and it's intangible and people think, ooh, that's boring. And that's when I say to them, you have to acquire a taste for it.
Well, I want to talk to you now about Dharana. I'm wondering if you can, first of all, explain to us what that is.
Yeah, Dharana is the sixth stage of Kriya Yoga. And it is the effortful work of concentration. And a lot of the practices that we do really come under the heading of dharana. They are really kind of infused with conscious effort. And one of the things that we talked about in the opening, this whole thing of with repetition comes absorption. That as we start to internalize these new symbols or these new dimensions of reality, that you can't just do it intellectually. You can't just do it academically. You can't just talk spirituality. You have to become spiritual. And so in the process of becoming spiritual, you need these types of disciplines. And through repetition, eventually you can internalize. And what we're talking about here, acquiring a taste for what is invisible and intangible. That once spirit is internalized as your symbol for validation, look at what you just did for yourself. Because it's not the same as if you are using coffee or cigarettes or food for validation. Because the minute you have a cup of coffee, or the minute you have a cigarette, or the minute you eat something that you are using to validate yourself, you'll become rapidly dissatisfied and you're going to want more. Whereas spirit is the only dimension that is fulfillment. It is the finished kingdom of heaven now. So once you rise above duality, once you rise above divided consciousness and you start to reside in unity consciousness, in the absolute, and you're out of the relative, then fulfillment is possible. But most of us are trying to complete ourselves in the manifested or even in the realms of thought. Even say, for example, what we say mathematically, it's not possible. That if you marked two points and you said the goal of life was to go from point A to point B, you can make as many moves as you want, but you can only go one half the distance with each move. You become rapidly close, infinitely close, but then frustrated as all get out because you're never going to reach point B. And that's what I think most of us come across is we are trying to complete ourselves in a dimension of reality that is fragmented. It is divided. And it will never happen.
So when we talk about the conscious effect of dharana, what are we looking for with that?
Well, you really want to rise into the next stage in yoga, which is dhyana, the seventh stage of yoga, which is a meditative state. It is the effortless flow state. It is where we all of a sudden let go of personal will, and we now come under the government of divine law. The effortless flow state of the meditative state is that you are now living by the will of God or by the life force, prana. And it's effortless.
And that's what we talk about before when we say, thy will, not my will.
Right. But we have to give up that personal sense of I. We have to give up personal interest in order to release divine law. And in essence, I mean, we are the process of us becoming spiritual is really an activity of nothingizing our corporeal sense of self, our the testimony of our five sense mind.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I want to get back to a few things that you said earlier in the program, and one of those things is you were talking about the word nothing, and I was wondering if you could explain why is spirit nothing?
Yeah, I really refer to sometimes the discoveries in quantum physics that they say that underlying matter is energy, and underlying energy is the void or the nothing. That spirit is nothing because it's whole, because it's complete. And matter and mind, with a small m, they fall under the heading of what is called duality. That in order for something to materialize, to manifest, it has to split from unity, from the one. It manifests in half and leaves behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. And our five-sense mind works on contrast. Because things are in half, there's a point of departure that creates contrast, and it reports in our senses. And so, of the three dimensions of reality, two of them are verifiable. But the spirit is not verifiable. And the reason it's not verifiable is because it's whole. There's no contrast. There's no departure. It's complete.
Well, so I have another point I need you to clarify for me. You mentioned harmony earlier. What's the difference between world harmony and divine harmony?
Yeah, world harmony can become discord. And that because it is under the law of karma, it is a belief in two powers. It's this ongoing struggle. It's the changing conditions of the personal mentality that we are dealing with. Divine mind is the changeless state of being. Harmony under divine law is absolute harmony. It's not harmony that can become discord. It is absolute harmony, and it is eternal, unchanging, permanent, always was and always will be.
All right, so my next question I have, before you had talked about the personal sense of I. Through a lot of my spiritual undertakings or research and so forth, I hear a lot about the I am principle. Can you explain what the differences of those are?
Well, yeah, and probably the explanation that I really rely mostly on comes from Christian Science, that there was an author, his name was Ames Knoll, and the title of his book was Divine Egoism, which is, I think, exactly what we're trying to do here. When our identity is bound up in corporeal sense, we have a personal sense of I, and we have a belief that we are separate from the One. But as we start to advance spiritually, we must give up this personal sense of I. And the biblical sense of I am really is the presence of divine law. that it is the only I. I really like, I was listening to a Joel Goldsmith lecture, and he talked about I as being the only word in the dictionary that is always capitalized. And the reason being is that its origins was divine intent. That the only I in this universe is the I of spiritual being, the I of truth, the truth of our being, or the perfection of our being. Once we start to see that the same I of my being is the I of your being, is the I of everyone's being, then it brings us into that unity consciousness. It brings us back to the awareness of the oneness of creation.
All right, so that might be a little hard to, you know, wrap our heads around that, you know, because we're so used to thinking about I as meaning me, myself, you know, things to do with our ego, I guess. So how can we go about overcoming that?
Well, I think just what you said, if you think you can understand yourself spiritually with mortal mind or a human mind, you're mistaken. That you really aren't ever going to be able to understand divine mind with a human mind, with your five sense mind. That's probably, you know, where we start to evolve and we move into the higher mind. But even the higher mind is not the same as divine mind. And it's the difference between knowing, doing, and being. But if you think that you can rationalize divine law, it will never happen. That the only option that we really have is to, and I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says here when she says that divine mind must take over the scientific government of your body. And what would that look like if you were actually doing that? Would mean that you would be under the jurisdiction of the will of divine law. It's probably nothing like what we think it's going to be, especially the way that we're socialized to think that freedom is our ability to get whatever we want. And, you know, how attached we are to my personal interest, how attached we are to our accomplishments, our beliefs, our role in the world. And to give all of that up takes quite a bit. You really have to understand that you will never understand that on a human level.
I see. So if we want to attract ourselves, right, to this divinity, to the nothingness, how do we do that? How do we become magnets to do that?
Yeah, that's the main thing. First of all, you want to recognize that this void, this nothing, is the nothing out of which everything comes. The language of spirit is silence. The activity of spirit is stillness. Because you're dealing with the finished kingdom of heaven, because you're dealing with a reality that is complete, whole, in perfect balance, part of the method or the way that you start to attune yourself to that is by turning your mind to the presence of silence, and not the absence of noise, but the presence of absolute silence, the presence of absolute stillness. And when you can use your mind as an avenue of awareness for the presence of this divine law, the presence of now, where you can start to create the raiment of your mind to be clothed with divine idea. And like we will start to learn is that the language of spirit is wholeness. It's not the same as speaking with a human tongue. That's why in the Bible they refer to it as the still small voice. It is an awareness, it's a sensitivity that you developed for something that is invisible and intangible. And that's why a lot of, I want to say, the methods that are used require purification, purging ourselves of all our unnecessary dependencies, for one, including a finite sense of self.
Well, okay, so I have in my notes too to ask you about, and this is in quotes, the Bible says, ask in my name.
Yeah, in order to be in my name, we must be in the image and likeness. See, that's what we call the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like. If we accept our spiritual identity, if we love the void or the nothing, if we revel in the presence of silence, stillness, then we are in harmony with divine law. The change can't just be an intellectual statement. It's not just an academic achievement. You must resonate to the frequency of spirit, which is no vibration. And so in order to get yourself to that level of consciousness, which is really makes you very buoyant by purifying yourself physically and mentally, getting rid of all your concepts, all your beliefs, and even getting rid of the mental activity of forming thoughts and opinions.
Well, I have one more thought. In your notes, you have written here, the finished kingdom of heaven is God's perfect creation and law. It is a reality, that's with a capital R, that is in a state of perfect divine unity. Nothing is needed to be added or taken away. Nothing is ever lacking or out of balance. It is the law of harmony and love. And that's a wonderful couple of sentences there. Can you summarize that some more for us?
Well, see, that's what you want to try and acquire a taste for. And most of this won't be revealed to you until you can ask in my name, until you can accept that as your spiritual identity.
All right, so I think I have one last thing I want to clarify. To be in divine likeness is to be nothing. To be nothing, we must resonate at the same frequency as spirit, which is no vibration, the invisible, intangible, one power. Now, you hear a lot of New Age out there talking about vibrations and things like that. So you're saying to be in divine likeness or divine power, there is no vibration whatsoever.
Right. And that's a big difference between a lot of the energy work and a lot of the mental work that is being done, which something that I've been saying all along is energy is not spirit. And so to make that mistake, to think that thought or vision or even concept and belief, that is spirit, is missing the mark because you're identifying a lesser dimension with the perfection of being, with spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's an important distinction that you really want to start to understand, is that to internalize spirit is to internalize nothing, to use nothing, silence, absolute stillness. But it's the truth to understand why that is. And that's the truth that sets us free.
All right, great. Well, thank you for all your information today. So we're going to end our program for this morning. So be sure to visit our websites, www.ipdtransform.com. Lots of tools on that website for your continued learning experiences. And you can access our other Blog Talk Radio shows. Three quarters way on the homepage, you'll see Swami Says recent posts. And she'll see a bunch of the shows there listed for your learning experiences. So with that, I'd also like to remind you to be sure to tune in to our Wednesday night Facebook Live episodes at 5 p.m. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to become addicted to the invisible, intangible presence of the divine. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.